The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Acme Packing Company's Intercepted. I'm Jess Mosqueda, and I'm joined by the Mina Kimes. Say what's up to people, Mina.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good. There was a little bit of awkward space after my hello, and I was worried that it was like too much. Like a little bit too energetic. Hi, how's it going?
No, it's all good. Where do we even want to start with this? Both of the quarterbacks are coming back. Do you want to go into general thoughts about the Aaron Rodgers situation? I know we've talked about this like via DM often.
You know the like Jimmy Butler keeled over picture. I don't even remember what game that's from. That's how I feel on that. Like on Monday or Tuesday, NFL Live is my show's on at 4. And we got the news that he was talking on McAfee again at 2. And I was like, please I just don't want to do it. I'm tapped out. I'm glad that when you and I talked about this game, I said, well, we'll see who's playing quarterback. And it does seem like we're getting Rodgers Wilson. So it actually makes the game a lot easier to discuss, even though I will say we don't really know what we're going to see out of each quarterback, right? Like we got Wilson who's coming off of the finger injury, just took out the pin and win or something. And then puts out the video with the succession music. And then you got Rodgers who, you know, he had COVID. So like he might not be totally right either, but we do know who's actually playing and that helps a lot.
Yeah. And it should be noted, the Packers just got done with their like Wednesday, you know, post-practice pressers and stuff like that. Devontae Adams is just coming off of the COVID reserve list. And he was saying like, even in that game against Kansas City, he caught himself like walking back to the huddle real slow and stuff like that. And it wasn't even necessarily like COVID related as much as like being an NFL shape is so different than just like rolling out of bed. And the fact that he wasn't able to do that for, you know, a week. Changed his conditioning, I guess. I mean, I saw it a little bit with the XFL and stuff, like that first week of camp where you're not used to, you look at the guys working out and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be awful. And then like 2 weeks in, you're like, oh, okay. They just needed to get back into playing shape. Like that playing shape is like an actual thing. So I guess that'll be interesting. As far as the Russell Wilson video, I mean, you would think that this guy's coming back from like the Alex Smith injury, the way he's putting on social media.
Listen, no, you know, you are not going to out cringe me this week. These quarterbacks, no, for once I have the upper hand when it comes to which of our quarterbacks is embarrassing us more these days. It was interesting. The Succession music was an interesting choice because I was like, which character is he implying that he is? If you don't watch Succession, it's okay. You should watch it though. It's a good show. But I'm excited because this is if both these quarterbacks are actually healthy, it is a good football game.
As far as that's an HBO show, right?
Succession? Yeah, it's an HBO show. Yeah.
I have something that you need to watch. Have you seen
By the way, I would say Succession is also kind of what's been happening in Green Bay the last 2 years with Aaron Rodgers. And you won't understand that joke because you don't watch the show. I'm sorry. I have not seen the other two, but many people have recommended it to me.
It's very good. I know you like I Think You Should Leave. So if you have that type of humor, it's very, very close. The other thing that we have in common, Odell Beckham Jr. is reportedly interested in both teams. I kind of want to know, like, do the Seahawks really even need OBJ? Like, you guys already have Lockett. You guys already have DK Metcalf, sorry. Seems kind of selfish if you guys are in the OBJ sweepstakes. Let us have
one. We absolutely don't need OBJ, but there's no way to improve the defense midseason. I keep saying, so why not try to score more points? I think that logic applies to literally all the teams in the OBJ sweepstakes, which seems like, based on the reporting over the last couple of days, Packers, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Saints. I don't know why you go to the Saints, but the Saints also. I think both of our teams could obviously benefit from using him. I do think, however, it's Wednesday, so at least in this game, he will probably not be playing.
Yeah, I got asked about that yesterday. I did the podcast with the field goal guys, and they were like, well, who's OBJ going to suit up for? And I was like, wide receiver isn't pass rusher. I mean, we've seen it with, you know, in Green Bay, Whitney Mercilus, in other places, you know, Von Miller was a guy who potentially could have played last week. And obviously Khalil Mack, you know, guys can get into pressure packages on a short turnaround, but it's because you line up in the C gap and you're rushing the passer. Like, we look at this offensive verbiage, you know, in all of these systems, and people are like, wow, I can't believe play calls are like 15 words long. Well, usually only maybe one or two of those words matter to the offensive lineman. The rest are all the skill players. It's where you line up, what you're supposed to be doing. So I would assume that, you know, if OBJ does sign with anyone between now and Sunday, he wouldn't be able to suit up in a game because just the learning curve is too high.
In Seattle, you just run around a lot and wait for Russell Wilson to eventually find you. So
you just run nine routes, right? Okay, so exactly. So this goes into another point. We've seen Russell Wilson with a billion different offensive coordinators at this point, and it seems like under center, okay, maybe under center, their offense changes a little bit. But once they go into the gun, the Russell Wilson offense is the Russell Wilson offense. Is this just what he is and like what it's going to be forever?
Yeah, and it's fine.
It works, but he complains about it.
Well, everyone complains about it. There's some frustration at times, you know, and it's, we went through the too high thing last year, which was actually, it was kind of similar to the Chiefs thing, where the second half of the Seahawks season last year, people were like, whoa, defense has solved Russell Wilson with too high. And it's like, well, no, Russell Wilson's been an NFL player for like 9 years now. He has faced too high many times. Like, this is not a new phenomena. There's several reasons why the offense is struggling, and it's not just, you know, schematic or whatever. But, you know, the Seahawks defense is always going to kind of live and die by the big play a little bit. They are capable of putting together drives. I would say, well, we can talk about the matchup or whatever, but at various points, they have been a good rushing team against those types of looks. And, you know, I think the way that they deploy Lockett, Metcalf, and whoever the third receiver is, D. Eskridge, who was their first draft pick, might play this week, notably. And they did use him earlier in the season when he was healthy on some sweep stuff and like kind of horizontally. But to me, it just kind of comes down to like, it's we know who Russell Wilson is. He's not changing. It comes down to more like, okay, how are we deploying? What is the run pass balance? Is the run game effective? And then how are we deploying these wide receivers? And I think that'll go a long way to determining what the second half of the season looks like for Seattle.
One more thing about Wilson. Do you buy into this Lambeau Field curse thing? I got asked about this by the field goals guy, and they were like, you know, they've only won one game since Mike Holmgren left Green Bay for the Seattle Seahawks, and there's some sort of curse. I don't buy it. There's nothing logically that you can tell me to convince me that there's some sort of boogeyman underneath Lambeau Field that is making Russell Wilson uncharacteristically throwing a lot of these interceptions in these specific games. It's a sample size thing, right? There's no buy-in to this Lambeau Field curse. I didn't even realize it happened. I know Packers fans have some level of confidence where they're like, you know, Russell Wilson's coming into Lambeau. Oh, we'll beat him. We beat him before. But that's totally different than like believing there's like an actual curse that is just haunting Russell Wilson here.
I think the curse is that the Packers have been good through most of the Russell Wilson era. So, I don't know how many games it is, but if you're playing a good team over the course of a small number of games, yeah, like there's a pretty good chance it's not going to go super well. But the family area was in Seattle, right? By the way, that was not in Lambeau. If it was in Lambeau, yes. I assume people wouldn't have gone out alive. So yeah, Seattle.
That was in Lambeau. The massive choke job, the 2014 NFC Championship game was also in Seattle. So
that was in Seattle. Every now and then when I'm in a bad mood, I rewatch the fourth quarter of that game. Some brave saint posted it online. The probably the best part is the John Ryan touchdown, frankly, and his face. But I don't think there's anything to that. I think there are a lot of other challenges facing Seattle in this game. I picked Green Bay, by the way. Let's get that out of the way. I picked Green Bay already, but I don't think Lambeau is one of the challenges.
So let's talk about this matchup. One thing I feel like I don't have a good understanding of right now is how the Seahawks offensive line is playing, in part because I kind of haven't been watching them the last couple of weeks because Geno Smith has been in. So I'm like, oh, I don't need to understand what's happening in these games because this is only going to be relevant for a very short amount of time. So offensive line wise, obviously they've struggled in the past. How are they looking right now?
I would say average is that's a really boring answer. And by the way, you're right not to watch them with Geno Smith because blocking for Russell Wilson is such a different animal. Dwayne Brown is still a very good left tackle. And I imagine, you can tell me what they'll do with Rashawn Gary, who to my eye seems to be the only effective Packers pass rusher, but edge rusher rather. But, the run blocking has not been superb. The interior of the offensive line, they did make some changes going back to Ethan Posich as their center. And it's really, it's not why they lose games. It's not why they win games. They're just kind of mediocre, maybe mediocre to like a slightly below average. I think something that'll be interesting to me, I was actually asking you, like, what's the deal with Kenny Clark? Because, you know, with Green Bay, to my eye, that would be the weakness of the defense. That's sort of the interior defensive line. Linebacker is no longer a weakness, which is insane watching the Packers, because historically that's always been where you want to, that they've been soft up the middle, and then corner, right? So I think it'll be interesting to see what approach Seattle takes, because obviously they're aware of those weaknesses as well. The Packers run defense still isn't excellent for a variety of reasons. But at the second level, they've kind of figured things out. Up front, it's not as great. But if I'm Seattle, I try to attack those cornerbacks as much as possible.
Yeah, that's the big thing with the Packers defense right now. I think if you look at like success rate, right, the way the success rate is measured doesn't necessarily help Green Bay with the way that they kind of play that front. But they're not getting ripped for explosive runs or anything like they had, under Pettine or under Capers in the past. Kenny Clark did return to practice today. So did Kingsley Keke, who missed last week with a concussion after he had a concussion against the Arizona Cardinals. Clark obviously went down with a back injury. And then Dean Lowry, their other starter, had been battling a hamstring injury and was on a pitch count last week. And then Tyler Lancaster, their fourth interior defensive lineman, got banged up for a short period of time and was out of the game. So they were in a real bad spot last week where TJ Slayton, who basically was taking like a redshirt year, essentially, he was kind of a guy who's very athletic, big body guy. The problem really seemed to be like conditioning and essentially just conditioning and getting ready to kind of play at a pro level. He was kind of a guy who he didn't even play defense until his senior year of high school. He was like an offensive line, like all American, et cetera. And then Florida was like, hey, you want to come play D-line? He was like, done deal. I'd rather not play offensive line. So he doesn't have a ton of experience defensively, but they have to rely on him. And to your point, talking about Rashawn Gary, he really has been the only guy who's gotten pressure off of the edge. I will say though, Dean Lowry, low key, like this last month, he's had Pro Bowl numbers. It's very weird. He was a guy who, they had to restructure his contract this offseason, and he wasn't even on like a massive deal just to keep him on the team. So that's kind of an interesting point. The other thing I will say, I need you to get on ESPN's airwaves and talk about their nickel defense. Their nickel defense, they play it in ways that I rarely see it played at the NFL level. You see it more like high school and college where, the bare front, not even necessarily out of like base personnel, is being kind of spread out everywhere where, by alignment, you're taking away inside run. You're getting a guy one-on-one on the edge with wide outside linebackers. The Packers often will just go out there with three defensive tackles, two edge rushers, and a singular inside linebacker. And that inside linebacker is Devondre Campbell, who's having, a Pro Bowl season playing sideline to sideline. And it's very odd. I'm sure you'll see it in this upcoming game, but it's not really something that I see, consistently across the NFL even.
And how would you attack that if you were Seattle?
Gap. It's gap runs. And again, that's happening in nickel. So like the Packers do a pretty good job of matching personnel, unlike Pettine, where Pettine might go, oh, you're running base? I'll put out dime. And, you know,
he would literally just play that regardless over and over.
It didn't matter.
Have the Packers played any super strong gap rushing attacks?
Chicago. So Chicago was the big one. Yeah, Chicago was the big one that they saw really recently. And this will be an interesting kind of change of pace for Green Bay, because after seeing Kansas City, after seeing Arizona and Washington, and I understand people don't watch Washington nationally, which good for them. They shouldn't be watching Washington football. They give you no reason to, but they're a very spread team. So they're coming off of basically, you know, three spread offenses in a row going against the Seahawks, who, you know, do actually use tight ends. The Arizona Cardinals never got the Packers into base personnel defensively in that Thursday night matchup, not a single snap. So to kind of put that into perspective, but yeah, it's a weird way to kind of play defense, at least on the NFL level. At the college level, you're seeing it a lot. And, you know, teams like Oklahoma are kind of known for how to kind of like attack it. And it often is like, okay, you're giving me three defensive tackles. I'm going to down block those three defensive tackles with my front side offensive lineman. I'm pulling my guard from the backside and hopefully we get to that linebacker. The thing in the NFL is it's pretty hard to run power out of the gun, which is, you know, most of the time that you're going to have a nickel defense on the field, just because there's not that element of the option game. Right. And because the NFL doesn't have really that many option quarterbacks, the Packers really aren't seeing it right now. I think they would struggle a little bit more against teams like Philadelphia and like the Indianapolis Colts, where they use a bunch of different tight ends. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
But they're not on the schedule.
I think with Seattle, like, and what you're describing, like, Devondre Campbell's been freaking awesome, especially against the run. Like, the dude's fits.
Hashtag Pro Bowl vote.
Hashtag he can be exploited in coverage, though. And if I'm Seattle, that is the matchup I try to take advantage of if they take that approach, which I imagine that they will. I would think, you're right, Seattle does use their tight ends. And I think, and then they do throw to their backs occasionally. I think Chris Carson is going to play, by the way. I'm not 100% sure, but the language coming out is good. I really think, I know, you know, Russ doesn't use the middle of the field. It's kind of a meme or whatever. But I really think that, they will be able to get mismatches with the tight ends in this one. I know I talked earlier about Metcalf and Lockett, but Green Bay will have their hands full, right, with the wide receivers. So in the passing game, I think your Gerald Everett, Will Disley might get more targets in this one than they normally would.
Is Russ too short to see over the middle of the field? Many people are wondering.
You know, he has trouble seeing over the middle of the field, but he doesn't have trouble listening to doctors, and that's cool.
There we go. What? But yeah, no, to your point, I mean, Devondre Campbell's had a great season, but he probably had his two worst snaps of the season against Travis Kelce, trying to cover, you know, crossers over the middle of the field. So that's a matchup to watch. Defensively, that's another thing that I don't have a good concept of right now, is what the Seahawks defense really even is. Can you talk about it a little bit? Because I'm trying
it's hard to get a read on them, because they've improved a lot over the last month that they've played. Let's see, I'll pull it up. Most recently, Trevor Lawrence, but you know, Jags, although the Bills, you know, lost to Jags, so whatever. Jameis before he got hurt, Jimmy, Trey Lance was in the mix. So, and then Ben Roethlisberger. So the numbers are way up, but the competition obviously has not been tremendously difficult. They have made some adjustments, though, that I think have helped them out, most notably using more dime personnel. They've had Ryan Neal in a lot, which worked really, really well against, he's really, really good at defending tight ends. There is no one on this roster who can cover Davante Adams, which we saw all too painfully in the playoffs, but DJ Reed, who's their top cornerback, he is pretty decent. I think I imagine that they'll give him some help on that one, especially because, you know, it's Green Bay. There's not many other wide receiver skill players on this roster, she says, right before Alan Lazard inevitably puts up 100 yards and a touchdown against Seattle. You know, the pass rush, I thought this, by the way, I previewed this game a little bit for my podcast, and shocking, Rodgers has very Tom Brady 2020 statistics. First in QBR when not pressured, 33rd when pressured this year. I call that the Tom Brady. So the question is, can, obviously he's getting the ball out quicker too. And oh, you should tell me if David Bakhtiari is playing. The offensive line has been very mixed so far early in the season. Seattle's basically gotten a lot of production out of Daryl Taylor, and that's about it on the outside. So, you know, that'll be, it'll be interesting to see whether or not they can pressure Rodgers, because I think that'll go a long way towards deciding what the defense has a chance. Because, like I said, nobody can cover Devontae Adams.
Yeah, they were trying to get an answer out of Elgton Jenkins on where he was going to play this week, to kind of get a hint on, you know, is Bach going to come back or not? He's going to have to get activated no matter what if he wants to play this season, which seems like everyone wants him to. LaFleur said yesterday, you know, he's going to get activated. The question is if he's going to play or not, right? So we know the news that he's going to get activated is coming. The big thing is, if Bakhtiari doesn't play, the guy to worry about isn't actually, you know, either of the offensive tackles. It's Royce Newman at right guard. He's struggled so much with stunts and blitzes. I saw someone posted that he had the lowest grade last week than any other but two offensive linemen since like 2014. Like, it was that bad against Kansas
City.
Really? He can't handle stunts and blitzes. He can't.
I was actually really, I mean, look, Jordan Love struggled. We don't talk about that, but like, I was shocked by the performance of the Green Bay offensive line against Kansas City. I feel like it was kind of like, I don't know, maybe underplayed coming out of the week because everyone was so focused on Love. And, you know, obviously he did miss some throws, but like, I really expected more, especially again. I mean, Chris Jones is a handful for any team, especially when he's been used properly. And I think Frank Clark is getting healthy and you kind of seeing that certainly, but goodness, like that offensive line really underwhelmed me in that game.
They sent like 6 and 7 every single play, and the Packers just never went to quit game. It really seemed like until probably midway through the third quarter, their answer was, or at least our thought was, all right, you're going to blitz us a ton. We're going to get a shot play, and then you're going to get out of it. And Jordan Love just could not complete one of the shot plays. And they should have adjusted earlier. And on their scoring drive, they realized like, hey, it's 3rd and 6. You're going to give me a blitz front. Like, we're just going to run inside zone against it and get a first down, or we're going to RPO this, or we're going to quit game this, but they just went to it too late. Really killed them. LaFleur called the Seahawks unit one of the best tackling units we've seen. A lot of Seahawks fans then immediately jumped in my mentions and said, like, and they crucified Aaron Rodgers for lying to the media. How bad is the tackling unit?
They're not that bad. We did that with somebody talked about the Chiefs defense being good on the Packers, and people,
that was Aaron Jones last week. Yeah.
Okay. And everyone was like, oh, this is the bigger lie than the one Rodgers told. And then the Chiefs defense came out and played pretty well. So hopefully that trend continues. The tackling is not terrible, I would say. Actually, that's far from the biggest issue with this defense. I think it's the lack of a pass rush and then some lapses in coverage more so than any tackling in the open field. He's not wrong. I think the Seahawks have really struggled with screens this year, and the absence.
Love to hear that.
AJ Wright.
Yeah. Love to hear that.
Against this game, I know, team in particular, I expect a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if even with Devontae Adams, the Green Bay plan doesn't look too dissimilar, frankly, from what we saw against Arizona. I mean, it will be relatively dissimilar because Adams changes everything. And then when the shots are there, he's going to take them. But separately from that, it does seem like, you know, Rodgers is playing kind of like a different style of football this year from last season.
Yeah. One last thing before we get you out, because I know you're a busy bee. Jamal Adams, let's have discourse. A lot of people have thoughts about Jamal Adams. People are calling him Blitz Boy. People are saying he's a 210-pound edge rusher. What does Jamal Adams bring to the table, and how good do you think he is?
Okay, so it's hard to separate Jamal Adams, the player, from Jamal Adams, the trade.
Yes.
I will note, he is coming off of, I would say, maybe his best game of the season, admittedly, against Jacksonville. They are using him less as a blitzer. And so, you know, in some ways that helps him, I think. In other ways, it is what he does best now. So it's kind of like, but I think a lot of the issues with him have to do with his usage. Seattle's playing a lot more cover 2 this year. It's not the Seahawks cover three of yore. And I think in many ways, if they were just a cover three team and he was just playing that Cam Chancellor role, he'd probably be more effective because he is very physical. He's a hitter. He's, you know, he is a decent tackler, by the way. What he's not is a great cover safety. And you see that at moments. I do think there's been a lot of moments with Seattle this season where he has suffered because of the players around him, especially the cornerback, whoever's not DJ Reed. It's kind of an ongoing competition between Sidney Jones and Trey Brown as a rookie right now to be that other cover spot after Trey Flowers got benched. But some of the plays where people have blamed Jamal Adams have really been on the other cornerback, and it's not his fault. So, you know, I think this will be an interesting week to see whether or not he can build off of the last week. I would expect him to play a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage in this particular matchup, given what Green Bay does up front, and we'll see. I think this is a game where actually they would be served using him a little bit more as a blitzer, situationally, given some of the weaknesses in the Packers offense. But he is not a great player and he is not a bad player is my answer.
Yeah, and one thing that will help Jamal Adams is the Packers no longer have a tight end who can, you know, travel more than 5 yards down the field.
Yeah,
the Packers didn't play 10 personnel like at all this year.
I was just about to ask that. Yeah, are they? They're not using 12 or 13 much anymore, right? Without Tonyan.
So they do it on base downs. The way that they do it is they use Lewis and Daphne. Daphne is kind of like a mini version of Lewis in terms of like they are basically just small offensive linemen. And they'll block defensive ends. When DeGuara comes onto the field, they run a lot of like counter and power and stuff like that because they'll line him up off of the ball and he'll just work across the formation. That's kind of his kind of game. But the thing last week was their first third down, they came out in 10 personnel. They just don't have a tight end who can convert on third down. Like that's where they're at right now. And I don't know if there was actually a trade that they could have made at the deadline. I know a lot of people talked about like Evan Ingram and stuff like that. I don't know if Evan Ingram is worth like a fourth, fifth round pick for a 1 year rental for half the season. But it's definitely something that's going to keep showing up as the games keep going along. So.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. All right, Mina, go ahead and plug everything Mina Kime so that people can hear you.
Well, we talked a little about this game on the Mina Kime show featuring Lenny. Which is my podcast, and you should check it out. We talked about the Chiefs Raiders game, the Pats Browns game, which I think is kind of the best game, or Browns Pats game of the weekend, with all due respect to the Wilson Rogers grudge match. You can get it wherever you get your pods. Thanks for having me on.